And good evening, ladies and gentlemen. It is Tuesday, June 19th, 5:16 p.m., and you are tuned into the Pastor Spot. My name's Terry Tackett, and I'm going to turn it over now to the host of the show, Pastor Steve Whitaker, live via the telephone today. Hello, Pastor.
Hey, how are you, Terry?
I'm doing fine. How about yourself?
Oh, doing real well here. We're in West Jefferson, Ohio today. But again, I want to welcome you to the show. This is Pastor Steve Whitaker of Community Christian Fellowship at 209 East Water Street in Prospect, Ohio. Our number is 740-292-4922. And our web address is prospectccf.com. We welcome you to come to church on Sundays at 10:30. We also have midweek service and a youth program. Just so much to do out there. We are a Bible teaching and believing church. If you have any questions you want to call in this evening, the call line is 740-383-9944. But again, I want to welcome you tonight, and tonight I'm here with Bob Veek. Bob is here with me at a thing called Ohio Changers. And Ohio Changers is a... you explain it. I'll tell you what, Bob, go ahead and explain what it is.
Sure, I can do that, Steve. Ohio Changers is a nonprofit group. It's put on by the State Baptist Convention here in Ohio. What we do is go into cities throughout the state of Ohio, and we work on houses for low-income families who don't have the money to fix their houses up. And while we do this, we also share the gospel with the families, as well as we go out to the neighborhoods and evangelize while we do the homeowners repairs.
Yeah, that was quick and concise, better than I would have done with it. And we're in West Jefferson, Ohio this week. And we have seven crews out working. These crews consist of seasoned carpenters that are crew chiefs and crew leaders. And then we have encouragers, which are kind of double as a chaperone, I guess is the best way to put it. And we have teenage young men and women from all over Ohio here. Our church, we actually brought 10 kids from Marion County this week to work here. And we've been doing everything from, I saw a group power washing the roof on a cleaning the roof on a mobile home and recoating it. Our particular project, we're in the middle of building a new deck for a lady. I'm rebuilding a deck that was in great disrepair and doing that for her. What are some of the other projects this week, Bob?
We've got some painting going on with some of the sheds here in the area. Here in the church itself, they're doing window replacement. Also some painting in the hallways as well. That's really the extent of the projects here in West Jefferson this year.
Well, actually, you just missed one. I just remember seeing that we've got a new deck and a handicap ramp going
that's
in
right
over by where we were working.
Just right past us.
And there will probably be, if we're doing great time-wise, so who knows, someone else might pop up with some things for us to do.
Yeah, if we finish early, which I'm planning on finishing tomorrow at some point, then we have cleaning out someone's brush out of their lot. But they can't do it themselves, so we'll be doing that Thursday if we finish up tomorrow on our deck.
Well, that'll be great if we can do that. Great time. Or if you hear anything in the background, we've got have kids playing basketball in the gym right behind us. And it's kind of neat because we take these kids, and when they get here, you know, they're all huddled up and buddied up with their friends that they know, and immediately the groups are changed up and they get paired with people they don't know. And it's pretty neat because they get to have good friends and they learn to come out of their shell a little bit, and it's a great work experience.
Now, Pastor,
of course, as you know, it's been extremely hot the last couple days.
Yeah. Now, Pastor, I wanted to ask you a question. How long are you guys at this particular camp, or where you're at?
We got here on Sunday afternoon and registered in Sunday afternoon. We had an evening service with them, and then we will be heading out on Friday morning. Let me give you an idea how the day kind of goes. The kids get up at 6:45.
Yeah, I was going to ask, is it kind of a structured type thing, or is it, you know?
Very structured.
Okay.
The girls have basically a dorm area they sleep. We have a place to sleep with them. And then in different parts of the building, we're chaperoned. And then they get up at 6:45. They come into breakfast. the ladies here at the church that's hosting us are doing a wonderful job of feeding the kids and feeding us this year. And we come in and we eat breakfast, and then following breakfast, the teams pack up, and we try to be on the road no later than 7:10 to head to the job sites. And they're about 10 minutes away. They're not far away. So they get to the job site, immediately begin to work, break for lunch. Then they break for, you know, if it gets hot. We have gone through a tremendous amount of water this week, like 2 cases on the job site a day. And that's for about, what, 10 people on the job?
10 people, yep.
10 people. It's just been really hot. But anyway, we roll back about 4 o'clock. The kids have shower time, and like right now they're in the middle of free time. This worked out great timing too, by the way, and the 5:15 slot today did, because we're not doing anything. At 6 o'clock, we'll eat dinner, and then following dinner, we'll go in for a worship service in the sanctuary. We have a pastor here from South Florida that is the pastor here for the week with the kids, and we have a worship time, and then following that, we break for a devotion time and a free time, and we try to get everyone lights out at 10:45. So that's kind of how structured it is here.
And is there like a list already prepared for you of the jobs, or do you guys, I mean, how are those determined?
There's applications put out to the city of West Jefferson. People need work on their houses, they will apply for the assistance, and then the people who are in charge of Ohio Changers will go out and meet with the families and see what kind of work is to be done. The funds are, I believe, donated by the city of West to do the work for free, and we just come in and do the work. But each person has to apply for it, and then the list of the jobs are known before we get here, and then they're assigned out to the crews as we get here on Sunday evening.
Oh, wonderful. Okay, wonderful.
Now, we've done this, you know, this happens every year. How many years has Ohio Changers been doing this?
I believe it's been around for about 5 years.
Okay.
I believe.
And this was kind of, if I'm not mistaken, this was kind of a spinoff from World Changers.
That's correct.
You want to give the viewing audience out there, the listening audience, an idea of what World Changers is?
World Changers is a lot like Ohio Changers. The only difference is that World Changers goes nationwide. They also go into Puerto Rico, and they used to go into Alaska as well as Hawaii. There's about 55 different sites throughout the country throughout the summer months. And again, it's the same schedule as Ohio Changers. You go in on it's a Monday for World Changers, and you work through Friday, and you leave on Saturday morning. But it's the same structure, same type of work with roofing, painting, windows, siding repair, deck rebuilds, wheelchair ramps. All that stuff is done through World Changers, just like Ohio Changers.
And then once again, it's the same application type process,
yes.
And the funding is done. The city does the funding.
That's correct.
And then basically what happens is all of the labor is free. And not just the labor, but the cleanup. It's always so important to us that when we do these things, that we connect with the homeowners. You know, we do want to share the gospel, but we want to share the love of Christ, and that is taking care of these people also and doing something for them that they can't do for themselves. I know the lady at the job site we're at probably could never have this done if it wasn't being done for her this way. So it's really a neat thing that we do, and it's a project that goes on every year. I had the blessing of about 5 years ago, maybe more now, being a superintendent on 5 jobs for World Changers when they were in Columbus, and in the south end of Columbus is where we were. And I really enjoyed that, and that was a good time. We did a lot of work back then. But I'd like to switch gears just a little bit here, and there's something I want to talk about that I think is important that people understand about what our churches in general do in the country as far as being out there helping in disasters, helping things that go on, helping people, meeting people's needs where they are. And I don't think that all the time the general public realizes that. I had a lady recently post something that she didn't understand why the churches should be, their giving and donating should be tax exempt. She said, what do they do? And I know several years ago, I was in, after Katrina, I was in Gulfport, Louisiana. We loaded up a crew and went down. And on going down, we worked pretty hard for a couple of weeks. But when we were leaving, I stopped in this little, I'm going to say a backwoods barbershop. But anyway, and these fellows were talking in there. I needed a haircut. It had been a rough week. And anyway, they said, you know, fellows, they said, if it wasn't for the churches in this country, we'd all died down here. And it was amazing when I was down there to see on every job site, every relief center, every everything, the churches just poured in and helped these people. And the only thing that kept them out of the worst areas was razor wire, and where they couldn't get in. And I remember the group that I was with was able to get past that razor wire in Gulfport and went into some of the worst areas to work. And it was just, it's amazing to see what God's people that love others will do and go out there and do. And I'm going to shift gears a little bit here, and I kind of like Bob to tell us a little bit about our disaster relief in the association and what that entails, because that's huge, and most people don't realize we have that here in the state of Ohio.
Yeah, disaster relief is really big in the state of Ohio, and the fact that whenever there is a natural disaster or even terrorism or whatever here in this country, the state is immobilized. And what they do is anything from chainsaw, where they cut down trees to get through roads for emergency crews to get through, they do cleaning out mud in houses if there's been mud outs or, you know, hurricanes or torrential downpours where it does that. We have a laundry unit. We have a shower unit. We have a feeding crew that feeds people. As an example, Steve here with Katrina here 10 years or so ago, they fed 60,000 meals within 3 days to the people in Louisiana and Mississippi. So that just gives you an extent of the size and the scope of what these people do. And there's also, like I said, the laundry care unit. There's also child care for people who have to take care of insurance issues or busy taking care of home issues that need to be fixed. So we have people that watch their children while they're taking care of that. So this is a total encompassing thing that goes on whenever there's an emergency. You don't see it in the news, but they are working behind the scenes. They actually cook the food for the Salvation Army and the Red Cross that's fed to the people who go down there. But that's what disaster relief does, and it is a huge impact in areas where there's a natural disaster or terrorism or whatever.
And what's really neat, something you just mentioned, is that, you know, us working together and partnershiping with others is really neat and helps make things happen. The Red Cross and the Salvation Army, they have the means to get supplies there, but they don't have the manpower to serve the food
that's
and
correct.
Do those things. So that's where we step in and do the manpower of cooking and doing the meals and the, just everything that goes on. So we are actually the hands and feet of those organizations to get things to the people and to feed the people when they're down there. And they don't, you usually don't hear that kind of thing. Something else I wanted to mention about that, because you mentioned child care.
Mm-hmm.
And child care is always something that people go, who's watching my kids? Could you tell us a little bit about the training process and how many different types of training that are done and how they have to be trained?
Training is rigorous, especially when it comes to child care. There's background checks, several background checks that each applicant has to go through to make sure that there's nothing in their history that would keep them from doing that. Once that's done, they go through a rigorous child care class that's put on by the State Baptist Convention. There's also AED, CPR, first aid training that has to go on. And then there's also a lot of safety protocols put in place to protect children when they're being babysat. For instance, men cannot watch children go to the restroom. They cannot guide them to the restroom. Only women can do that. And this is just for the safety of the children and then to put parents' minds at ease as well while the kids are being watched.
And likewise, in every one of the different aspects, the chainsaw crew, for instance, goes through training. They all have to be certified by the disaster relief
That's
team.
Correct.
They can't just... If there was a disaster tomorrow, Terry, and you decided that, hey, I want to go down with these guys, you couldn't do it.
That's correct. You have to be trained.
Wow.
You have to be trained in any of those areas.
It's that way for any time that you want to do something like that? Or I mean...
Absolutely.
Okay.
As long as you're going through our disaster relief association, it is that way. For instance, we have what's called a mud out crew, which is probably one of the hardest and dirtiest jobs that we do. And when you have flooding, and every time there's flooding in this country, our mud out crews that are trained all over the state, they mobilize and they head out to these places with pumps and squeegees and shovels and buckets and trash cans. And they, behind the scenes that we never see on the news, but behind the scenes, are in there cleaning out people's houses and getting ready for them to get their lives back and restored. There's communication teams, because a lot of times communications is a huge thing where there's a problem. What am I missing? I know there's more.
I can't think of the other ones off the top of my head.
But, you know, there's just about everything that can be really neat. Well, the laundry trailers are neat. I love that. We have a trailer that is nothing but washing machines. And they show up. These people can't wash their clothes, but they can bring them there, and they can wash them right there. Another thing that they've mobilized this week on our job site here, which we've actually had twice now at our church in Prospect for large outreaches, is we have what's called a shower trailer. And this is a long trailer that's pulled in, and it has four shower units in it. Is that right? Six shower units in it. And you go in, and there's everything you need. There's a sink. There's a shower. So you can take a shower and come out sparkling clean. And it also has one laundry unit in it. So all these kind of things go on all the time. And I don't know that people really realize to the extent that the churches do to reach out and help people in the responsible way that they go about it. And it's just been such a blessing to us. I'm so glad to have all of our kids plugged into it. So, Terry, do you have any more questions about some of this stuff?
No, I was just going to make a comment and say, you know, you guys offer such a wonderful service during the this disaster relief. You know, I was just going to say it's little things that people take for granted all the time that make such a big impact. You know, I mean, like taking a shower and doing your laundry, things like that.
Yeah, you're right. People don't often think about that, do they? Hey, by the way, if you're a listener out there, I haven't seen much of it on the news. Get on your computer and Google Houghton, Michigan, Houghton, Michigan. Houghton is a mining town in the Upper Peninsula of Michigan, in the very top above Lake Michigan. And what brought it to my attention was I have a nephew that has a church there, and my brother is actually the director of Love Inc. in Houghton. And Houghton just got hit by one of the worst disasters I've ever seen, and I'm not seeing much out there on it. If you Google Houghton, Michigan, it'll come up. It's a mining town, and they've had mines under that copper mines for years, and they've got shipping channels there. Just a lot of neat stuff. It's a beautiful, beautiful place. I think, if I'm not mistaken, they have a small college. But anyway, torrential rains came in, and I've never seen this much destruction by water. There's not a road left in the town. The highways are washed out. The railroad tracks are washed out. The infrastructure of this entire place is gone. And I know that, to give you an idea of how we work and how responsive we are, no one here has heard about it. In our group, we've been busy working here. And I mentioned today to one of our people of the state, I showed him some pictures. I said, when I get back, we're going to try to put a team together to go north. And his immediate thing was, hey, if you're able to make it happen, let me know. We'll see what kind of funding we can get together for you. And see, so what I'm getting at, it's really neat when you come from a point of compassion to help people, you immediately look to how to get it done. Not what bureaucratic thing to hold it up. Does that make sense to you, Bob?
That does make sense to me, yes.
Looking at some of these pictures right now of this, oh my goodness, this place got devastated.
It is. I mean, it's my jaw just dropped. Can you believe that?
Wow. The entire peninsula
in the world, full of gift shops and it's a real big hiking, vacationing place where people hike and fish and hunt and just all kinds of different things of that nature, outdoor type stuff. And this place is devastated. I know my nephew's church, Houghton Baptist, just built a huge addition on the church. And they run right at about 200 people on Sunday. And he said, I got a message from him that on Sunday morning, not one person was able to get to the church. That's how things are disrupted in this town right now.
Oh, my goodness.
It's that bad. So, yeah, people out there, put these people in your prayers. They need help. And get on your local news stations for not making this more well-known.
Yeah. I mean, look at these folks.
I understand it's kind of out of the way. It's not a major city. But it is part of America and part of our country. And these people are really hurting right now. While we've got a couple minutes here, I'm going to ask Bob, do you have any... you've been doing this how many years now?
This is my 10th year, either with World Changers or Ohio Changers.
So you've been doing it 10 years. What's your regular occupation?
I actually work as a test analyst for J.P. Morgan Chase.
What do you think of that? Here's a guy that's a test analyst for J.P. Morgan Chase, and he's out here banging nails and hauling trash. And I know that when I was at Katrina, I spent 90% of my time raking trash onto huge tarps and dragging it to the streets. You know, once the water receded. So this isn't easy work. It's hard work.
It's backbreaking, very sweaty work.
And, you know, there's something else that is kind of a plus to this that I notice when I'm out with the kids. The kids aren't watching us work. The kids are being taught what we're doing and how to do it. So we've got kids out here that are learning how to use a tape measure, how to build steps, how to run a drill, how to run a saw. And it's really a good learning experience for these kids out here. And by the second or third day, they're just grabbing stuff and doing it. Mm-hmm. And that's a really neat thing to see.
Yeah, they're catching on quickly.
Bob, while I've got you here, you said you've been doing this about 10 years.
Yep.
Do you have any stories that you'd like to share of anything that really touched your heart or something of that nature? I don't mean to put you on the spot.
No, you're fine, Steve. One that really comes into mind is that we did... About 5 years ago, we were in Owensboro, Kentucky. We built a deck, a walkway, and a set of steps on a steep hill for this lady. And at the end of the week, we found out she had stage 4 cancer, and this is her only way out of her house, was to go down this walkway. Before that, it was just a grassy hill, and very slippery in the rain, and very bad in the snow. So we built her a real nice deck on the back of her house with a walkway, with a set of steps that went down to where her car was and her garage was. And by the time we had finished that, she had tears in her eyes. She was so thankful that we came and did the work for her. This is something that she could not have paid for on her own. This is something that she could not have done. So we came in and did it for her, and she was extremely blessed by it, and we were too, by being able to do this for her.
That is a great blessing. And it's something that is touching to us. I know the lady where we're working this week, you can see the appreciation. And one thing that we do, too, is we like to get to know the people and share with them. And when we were there today, when they brought our lunch, we have lunch crews that we'll bring. And sometimes other churches get involved, and that's what they do during the week, is bring the lunches and do those kind of things. But anyway, when they bring the lunches out to the job site, we like to share with the homeowner, the person that's there. So today we showed up, and the lady had her... three of her grandchildren there that she was watching, so we shared lunch with them today. And after lunch, she brought all three of her grandkids out to thank us for the lunch. And what a blessing that is to see her teaching those kids, you know, to be thankful. And they were, and they genuinely were. And it's, I think the neat thing that I see in working with this, I'm not one of those, you guys probably know me by now. I'm not one of those kind of people that pulls punches. I don't like phoniness. I don't like to be phony. The deal is, that we're not doing this so we can pat ourselves on the back.
That's correct.
We're doing this because we care about people and we genuinely want to help them and build relationships. And I'll be honest with you, when we're out there, we're going to talk about the Lord. We're going to invite people and try and point them to a local church. Because one thing that's really important with these people is not only that they come to know the Lord, which is the most important thing for us, but it's that when they connect with a local church, they now have a support structure when we leave, and people that care about them and continue to care about them. It's not about them coming in and bringing the church money. Everyone always thinks that, the church just wants money from people. And I forget, many times people forget and don't realize how much the church puts right back out, what they do with that money.
Mm-hmm.
One thing about our association, State Convention of Baptists in Ohio, is that we are very, very much mission-focused and have been forever. And a lot more goes out the door than you can probably ever imagine. And what's neat is when you bring young people on these kind of trips, it changes them, I think.
It does.
They see other people in need, and then when they respond to help, they begin to realize that there's something better than just going home and sitting in front of the computer. Because the experience I've had with these kids, you get them to go on one mission trip, they come back.
Yep.
And what's cool about that, I got to tell you, Terry, these kids have been miserable the last 2 days.
Oh, this heat, yeah, I'm sure.
It really has. It's been miserable from the sunburns to the water to the heat to the filth to the dirt. This particular deck we tore out the other day, and we had to strip it right down to the frame to rebuild the frame so we can start going on top of it. Bless her heart, the lady had never seen under her deck since she lived there, and underneath it, people had tried to store things for years she didn't even know about, and it was nasty under there.
Yep.
But these kids were under there dragging stuff out and taking it to the dump, to the trailer, to go to the dump trailer, and they just get right with the program. We do have them wear long pants and use gloves and dress appropriately and use safety glasses, but we're talking about kids, and some of these girls, all they know how to do is keep those nails perfect, and their nails aren't perfect anymore, Terry.
Right.
Well, but, having a great time.
I was going to say, to be honest with you, who anymore, I mean, it's almost impossible for anybody to drive a straight nail anymore. I mean.
Well, they're learning.
Yep. Oh, yeah.
You can believe me. One thing that we do is they have someone come around and they'll videotape these kids at different things. And then at the end of the week, they'll make a video of the things they're doing. And our first night's video came in. Every evening we'll look at what went on in the job sites during the day. And there's one of our girls, Chloe Price, and she's in there just banging away on a nail to get that thing driven. And, they're learning
That's
how
awesome.
To bang nails. I think she hit her thumb yesterday, too.
She might have.
But it's such a great experience for them to learn
awesome.
That there's something better than just thinking about themselves. And what a blessing that is. But you can probably tell from our attitude, we're having a great time here. It's not always a lot of fun sleeping on an air mattress or a cot, but you get used to it. And myself personally, I am in a room with about 10 or 12 boys, teenage boys, and I'm the only adult in that room sleeping at night. So I've got my hands full, but they're pretty good kids. When I tell them I've had enough, it's time to go to sleep, they get pretty quiet. But anything else, Terry, you want to wonder or question?
No, like I said, I mean, it sounds like obviously you're there, everybody's there for a purpose, and that you're all working together to get to that same goal, the common goal that you're there for. So, and as long as the kids are learning the lesson, I mean, that's really all that matters in the whole thing,
Yeah, on this end of it, I mean, as far as the kids go.
Right, right.
The main goal is to help those other people.
Oh, sure,
that are
sure.
And show them the love of Christ outside of ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
That's the main reason we're
sure.
there. But with the kids, as far as the goal there is to teach them to show people the love of Christ and how you do that and to learn to interact with people. You know, it's kind of interesting, Terry, when kids today are so caught up in social media that they're not as conversational normally as we were growing up. They rarely talk to adults they don't know, and they don't have that daily interaction like we did. And what's a huge blessing here is these kids learn to interact with adults, and that it's all part of the picture. You know, if you really look at what's going on here, it's nothing, no new program or no neat thing. It's basically, you look at the story of the Good Samaritan in the Bible, it's very similar to that. You know, what we do, we're not going to pass by someone that really needs it, and we're going to stop and help them, and we're going to help them because we care about them, not because we want something from them.
Mm-hmm.
And normally, you know, people will all over, especially when you go into disaster relief, I find people always say, is there anything I can do to pay you? Well, I'm going to take a glass of water if they offer it to me, or a cup of coffee if they offer it to me. It's really funny. When we were at Katrina, I was telling these guys yesterday, at least where I was, people kept trying to give me Mardi Gras beads. We get in, and this one lady, we were cutting trees out of her yard, and she came out, and she says, y'all, I don't have any money. But I said, we don't want any money. You can't pay it. She said, at least let me give you some Mardi Gras beads. And she came out with a grocery bag of Mardi Gras beads and says, just take your pick, honey. You take any Mardi Gras beads you want. But, you know, the people are very gracious, and they're very, very kind. And one thing they don't expect, and it's sad that they don't, but they don't expect anyone to show up to do anything without their hand out wanting something. And to me, it's not about us, but it's so great to be able to do something without expecting payment for it.
Right.
Just do it because you want to be there, you enjoy what you're doing, and I'll have to tell you another aspect of it I think is pretty neat. Not just young people, you know, the older crews, like the chainsaw crews and the people that go on disaster teams, those are not minors, those are all adults. And honestly, a lot of them are retired adults simply because they have the time to get out. And, you know, when we get a call sometimes, you know, in 10 hours, you're on scene. It can be that way. And the thing is, with adults that are retired, that's easier to happen than somebody running. But the thing that is a bonus of all this is the relationships that you build with other adults around the country.
Mm-hmm.
And you get to know people, and those partnerships never hurt.
Well, that's what's nice about that, is that you can't really put a price tag on that. You know,
you really can't. No, absolutely not.
You know, and that's something you'll keep for the rest of your life, you know, the friendships that you make along the way and, you know, things like that.
You know, I still have friendships today of people that I helped during Katrina.
Mm-hmm.
When I went down, there was a lady that had a stay at her place. It was pretty well damaged, but she had power there and she had water.
Mm-hmm.
And she had a stay there, and we had an agreement. We'd work on her house when we came in at night, as long as she washed our clothes and bathed us and fed us. Now, that was her deal, not ours.
Mm-hmm.
We weren't requiring it. But she was so blessed to have that trade-off. Now, one thing that we did do, though, is we brought her the food to cook, and it was a real blessing to be there. We certainly by no means took advantage of her.
Sure.
But just had a great time. And we built that relationship, and, you know, to this day, she still has contact with us, and I need to get down and see her again because she's getting up there in years.
Mm.
But it just really is such a blessing.
Right.
And it's eye-opening to see people that sometimes you just look and say, how are they going to get through this? And to be that hope that they see coming. Some mom and dad that might have to try to get to some place to sign up for something or try to get things on their feet again. And what are we going to do with the kids while we do this? You know, to have people they can trust to leave their kids with that'll take care of them for a few hours of the day, or even longer, why they have to run and do these things, or just having filthy clothes and not knowing what you're going to do. Just being able to get clean bottled water, you know, that's huge.
Mm-hmm.
Just being able to get clean water or show up and have someone just hand you a meal and not expect anything in return is something we all should be doing and we should be getting involved in.
Well,
I'm pretty blessed to be able to be involved with these guys.
Right, and it's unfortunate that a tragedy like that, you know, has to happen, but, you know, once it does, just, you know, the closeness of that brings everyone, you know what I mean? It's unfortunate, but...
Yeah, it really does. It really does. And I think sometimes the difference that you get when the churches are involved and when other groups that are not affiliated get involved, those they'll go down and they'll work and they'll do something and they'll come back.
Mm-hmm.
But I think in we touch base. We know what's going on. We try to work with local churches in the area, where there's churches in the area that not only we can help, but maybe we can plug in with them and build a relationship there. I have relationships from about every place I've ever been.
Same here.
Do you?
Yep.
Oh, and I was going to say, you guys may have already answered this question, but I'm going to ask anyway. Is this a program that is all throughout the United States, or is it just...
Certain states have their own programs. A lot of the state associations have their own disaster relief. It's not in every state, but the majority of the states do have their own disaster relief programs. As far as Ohio Changers is concerned, Kentucky, for example, has Kentucky Changers.
Mm-hmm.
But then there's World Changers, so not every state has an Ohio Changers like we do.
Okay, that's what I was wondering. Okay.
World Changers does go nationwide.
They do go nationwide from the East Coast to the West Coast, and like I said, Puerto Rico.
Okay.
I have friends that just finished up a mission trip in Puerto Rico here this past week from previous World Changers trips. So they go down there, and they used to go to Hawaii and Alaska as well, but I don't think they have done that one for a couple years. But they've gone into California, for example, all over the West Coast, Midwest, East Coast. They're all over the country.
Okay.
So let me ask you a question, Bob. When say that when you go into a city, say there's a target city,
uh-huh.
And now understand, I don't want you guys to get confused. When we're talking about World Changers, we're not talking about going on a disaster. These are two different things.
Right.
World Changers is where you go into a city, maybe in a depressed area, maybe there's a part of the city that really needs a lot of work done, people need a lot of help, and they go through that application process to get their place worked on and that type of thing.
Yep.
When, for instance, like when we went into Columbus a couple of years ago, mm-hmm. and went to the south end of Columbus and did all that work and all the teams there, how many individuals would you guess, I know this might not be easy, are involved that particular week when World Changers comes in?
You got to remember, World Changers has its own staff, so they go from site to site. We have a construction supervisor, we have a project supervisor, and then we have four or five staff members who are with us throughout the week. That does not include the people who come, and you can average anywhere from 150 to 400 people per site, depending on the size of the venue or the size of the city that we're going in and the capacity of the church or school that we stay in could hold. So that ranges in size. But typically, at its heyday back, you know, 5 years ago, World Changers, they had 70,000 participants in 1 year. Nationwide, if that gives you an idea of how big it is.
Isn't that amazing?
Yeah. Now, as far as from the kids' aspect of it goes, how are these children chosen to, I mean, are they in a group that, I mean, how's that?
A church youth group that signs up for it.
Okay.
They usually go through their own training within the youth group. World Changers sends out, Ohio Changers does the same thing. They send up their own pre-study guidelines you have to go through. There's a Bible study or devotion that you go through with your group. And then they pay their fee, and then they're part of the group.
Okay.
Like in our particular situation, Terry, what happened was we were at a local missions conference with our association, and they had a lot of different booths set up like you do at any conference.
Mm-hmm.
And there was a table there for Ohio Changers. And immediately, Kelly Van Gundy, you've met John, of course.
Yep.
Kelly, who is our youth leader, saw that and said, "We can do this," and she grabbed it. And that's where that started. So we contacted them this year and put that out and asked what our kids thought about doing. And we had a lot of kids interested in going. We brought 10 here this year, which is pretty good, really. And And then we started to have the kids start working on raising funds, and we had some outside people were so gracious to help pay their way, and we were able to pay to bring the kids here and do this. And that particular money, that all goes to expenses. No one's getting paid here.
That's correct. It's all volunteer.
Mm-hmm. It's all volunteer. And really, it's not a lot of money. Can you remember how much it was a kid?
$149 a kid.
$149 a kid. And that's for a whole week of meals, housing, their devotionals.
T-shirts
that for their World Changer annual shirt. You know, that's not a lot of money. And
no, not when you look at what all they get. I mean, it's...
So it basically is trying to cover the supplies of what the kids will use that week.
Sure,
but,
sure.
But none of these people, literally none of them, are paid staff.
That's good. Yeah.
At all, and they're all good, solid volunteers with wonderful hearts. So Terry, we just got a couple minutes left, and the thing that I want to point out this in closing in the show is that what a blessing it is to know that we can do all these things. We never want to tweak our horn, but it's nice though when the general public does know, hey, you know what? These churches are out there doing something and making an impact and making a difference. Because I don't think a lot of people realize to the extent we do.
Right.
And we do it because we love God, and He
sure.
loved us first.
Sure.
And we need to share His love with those people.
Yep.
And we want to do it. And the closer we draw to Christ, the more love and compassion we have for people.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a blessing to be able to serve them. None of us are going to get a big certificate to put on the wall or a pat on the back. It's not about that.
Right.
It's about caring about these people. And I want this lady to know at the deck where I'm working this week, when she steps out next week, she's got solid footing in, under her feet. And she remembers that some young people came around and they cared about her.
Yeah.
And how important is that? That's just so important.
Oh, yeah.
But it looks like we're winding up here, Terry.
Yeah, I'm going to
encourage everyone.
2 minutes to go. Give your information, Steve.
That's what I'm going to do.
Okay.
Again, we're at 209 East Water Street in Prospect. Our Sunday morning service, Bible school, is at 9:30. Our general service, regular service, and worship service is 10:30. We do provide child care during church. We have wonderful kids programs. We have Teen Kid during the week for young people. We have youth group on Sunday evening, along with Sunday evening service. And a midweek, we have prayer and Bible study groups. Those are just some of the things we do. I do want to point out to the people that are in the Prospect area that we are serving lunch to the community for kids and seniors throughout the summer months. Come and get a free hot lunch at the church. If you're in Prospect, that'll be given to you. So those are just some of the things. Our number there is 740-494-2222. And again, our website is prospectccf.com. We'd love to hear from you. And give us a call, please.
Say 30 seconds to go. Any you know, anybody, just say hello to anybody, or, you know, or...
Well, I just want to tell you parents out there that we have your kids this week. They're doing great. They're still alive. They're healthy, and they're learning to enjoy new things. And these kids have been a blessing to us.
It's such a great
you know, you hear so much negative about kids in the world today, and watching these kids is fantastic. So get a hold of us, and we'll help you get involved in the church. And come to understand the joy we know and see in doing this stuff.
All right.
Terry, take care. You're listening to my UWGH Radio 107.1 FM LP, Marion, Ohio.
I'm Charlie Evers, and I'll be on 10 till 12 today. And welcome your phone calls. Today, I'm going to leave it up to all of you to ask questions.
Porky.